Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Young adults who've aged out of foster care are navigating life without the same kind of safety net that many of us have. And of course, the pandemic has made it that much harder. We recently spoke with Phoenix Ramirez, 21 years old, who entered foster care in Oregon when he was six. In March of 2020, he aged out of the system.
Literally, the judge signed the papers of like, you no longer have a case, a week before everything shut down. And then when everything shut down, I really had like no resources available to me. My whole life kind of got like flipped on side of its head. At the time, I was living at the dorms in my college. And they decided to shut down the dorms. So I was about to be homeless. All my jobs, opportunities just went flat too. So I lost a lot of my income as well. And unfortunately, the timing of everything just made it so that DHS and Child Protective Services and foster care just couldn't help me at all because I just closed my case.
Thankfully for Phoenix, the COVID relief package passed late last year included support for teenagers and young adults who've spent time in foster care. The money will help Phoenix keep his head above water.
Just recently, I just learned about the COVID relief package having funds specifically for foster youth. And most states have up to $2,000 available for former foster youth. And I applied for that. And I just actually got news today that I got approved for it. So I'm planning on using those funds to purchase a new car so that way I can start back into work again. Because for me, I'm an actor. I work in the entertainment industry, so I have to travel a lot.
But if you've aged out of the system and you don't have help from social workers anymore, it's tough to know what kind of help is available.
I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get funding, but luckily I did.
This is Hillary. She asked us to use her first name for privacy. Hillary is 24, aged out at 18. She lives in a different state now than she did when she was in foster care, so that's made getting the COVID relief money more complicated.
I was able to use some of that emergency funding to like buy a bed and like dishes. And basically I had like nothing but a couple of suitcases and an apartment. So it ended up working out in the end, and it was like a long and very stressful process, but the years after foster care have been long and stressful, so I'm sort of used to that.
Hillary tells us that the pandemic actually helped in one way. She realized that growing up the way she did and dealing with so much uncertainty has made her resilient.
I'm very happy and grateful because now I have somewhere to live. And this is like the first time that I've ever had like a safe, welcoming place to call home.
And Hillary, this is me tipping my hat to you. And let's keep talking about this with Vivek Sankaran. He is director of the Child Advocacy Law Clinic at the University of Michigan Law School. He works with people like Phoenix and Hillary all the time and others in the foster care system. Vivek, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And boy, aging out of the foster care system is a tough road, even in the best of times. How much harder did the pandemic make it for these young adults?
It is so much harder, Peter. I mean, if you think, as you flagged, it is always difficult for a child aging out of foster care because they lose all the supports that they had in the system, a lawyer, a social worker, a place to live. And during the pandemic, what we saw is that many of these supports fell away quickly, and these youth were asked to navigate the world on their own. But it was a world where everything became more difficult, right? Getting a job, getting a house, being connected with those who could support them. And for my clients and other youth that I know, it was a real struggle.
Do you think that's a temporary problem, or will this be something that they kind of grapple with for years?
So I have to say what the pandemic did was it really exposed a lot of the flaws within our foster care system. And one of the real tragedies in our system is how we deal with children aging out of foster care. This kind of revealed a longstanding problem and our need to provide these children with, we need to surround them with much more than we're doing right now to have a much smoother transition. But of course, the real solution is preventing this from happening in the first instance, which is probably where we should be investing most of our time.
And as you know, it wasn't just tough for teenagers aging out. The AP reported recently that family reunifications dropped dramatically during the pandemic. So did adoption. So all the way across the spectrum here. What else have you seen happening?
Yeah, in so many ways, this pandemic has impacted families. I mean, from parents not being able to visit children from kids who are ready to be sent home, not being able to go home. It's affected, you know, every aspect of the system. So, for example, in Michigan, we had hundreds of kids ready to go home, but then courts closed down. And for kids to be sent home, you need court orders. And kids were languishing in foster care, even though they were ready to be home. And luckily, we came up with an innovative sort of pilot project to try to get all these orders generated outside of court. But it really revealed that so much of what we do in foster care involves like going to a physical space and talking to a judge and getting an order signed. And it's got a lot of us to think about different ways that we should be moving forward to make this system far more efficient so we can get better outcomes for families.
Are the courts back to normal yet?
No, and I don't even know kind of what normal will look like moving forward. And so, you know, we have many courts still holding hearings virtually. Many trials have been delayed. And you're talking about trials involving really key questions about whether a child was abused or neglected, whether parental rights should be terminated. And kids and families have been in limbo as a result of that. And so as we slowly emerge from the pandemic, you're getting courts clearing a lot of the backlog and a lot of the delays. And the problem, you know, is that for kids, that their sense of time, you know, doesn't stop during a pandemic, right? They're forming relationships and attachments. So you're seeing a lot of really difficult situations where kids have been out of home for quite some time, but parents haven't been afforded a fair opportunity, you know, to do what they need to do to reunify with their children. And so it's a real challenge right now all across the country.
You make such a good point. All of this is lost time, which for families and for kids, it's like it's impossible to get that back in a really critical, important time in these people's lives. What are the impacts of that?
You're absolutely right. I mean, what we're talking about for kids is their lives have been in limbo for 6 months, a year, you know, more than that. And you're talking about parents who, you know, I think of a client of mine who has been battling a longstanding substance abuse addiction, and she was finally ready to get treatment inpatient when a bed opened up. And then the day that she was supposed to go in, she had a cough and she wasn't allowed to go into the program because of, I get it, because of COVID, right? Because of fears of spreading this horrible disease. She's just one of many, many parents that I've heard from across the country that have been trying to get help, trying to get services, trying to access the relationships they need, but none of that was available. And so, you know, there's a lot of patience and empathy needed as we sort of struggle out of this this dynamic.
Well, let me tell you something. This story hits close to home for me. I adopted my daughters from foster care in February and in April of last year, right as the virus was shutting down cities. The court system in Boston, where we were living, shut down. One of the adoptions was delayed for quite a bit. This is a system that is incredibly difficult to navigate. I know that firsthand. I've experienced it. And it's not just for the adoptive parents or for the birth parents, but it's for the kids, of course, and the teachers and the social workers. I mean, as you said, this really shed light on the weaknesses in the system already. So as we emerge from this pandemic, do you think it's possible to find a system that doesn't just go back to normal, but maybe even could be prepared to become something a little bit better? Or is that just being optimistic?
No, you know, I I'm an optimist, and I think that there is space that has emerged in this pandemic driven by empathy, right? That this idea that life is fragile for so many of us. And I think people are feeling that a little bit right now. And I think they're reimagining how we can support families. And you know, my own view is that what we need to be doing is to move upstream and thinking about how we can support families so that kids don't have to enter foster care, and that we have a smaller number of kids, if they need to enter it, that we can deal with their needs in a much more holistic and appropriate way. But I see some space. I see a glimmer of hope that you're hearing more and more conversations about giving families the types of concrete supports that they need, income, access to housing, employment, that all the studies that I've ever seen have shown that those are the things that really drive down reports to Child Protective Services. And so that's my hope, that's my dream, that we can move away from this reactive conversation we've had for so many years about what are we going to do on the tail end after we've already traumatized a child in foster care for years, and can we reimagine what we do and do something that's bigger and different in terms of how to support families?
Vivek Sankaran is director of the Child Advocacy Law Clinic at the University of Michigan Law School. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.